The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. It's the Friday show right here on AM 700 KSEV and KGBC AM 1540. We're glad you could tune in with us today. And before we get started, I want to give my normal admonition that just because you might hear something on the show today that you like, or think it might assist you achieving certain goals and objectives you may have, please don't rush off into the deep end just yet. Go check with your existing advisors, and let's make sure that they concur that, in fact, there's something there that might make sense for you. If you don't have existing advisors, you can go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER. And the first, when you get there, the second link from the right at the top is a forms link. And when you get to the intake forms page, if you'll fill out at least that first form, that should give us enough to have a phone discussion about whether we think we can help you reach your goals and objectives. Not trying to sell you any partnership or investment opportunity. We are engaged, if you choose to simply help you understand what you're signing up for, potentially. And then beyond that, we offer assorted tax planning and tax compliance services, but for the most part, when it comes to real estate, private partnership syndications, or retirement plans and using retirement funds to invest in real estate, private partnerships, and also as you progress towards retirement, helping you align your income streams so that we can participate in the zero tax rate part of the brackets, and may not happen every year. You kind of hope it doesn't if you haven't converted to Roth. Now, if you convert to Roth, which is something we bring up on almost every show, we'll probably do it again on this show besides this reference, you know, if you're successful in real estate, at least with respect to these private real estate partnerships, and you have not undertaken a Roth conversion, first of all, shame on you if you're still sitting on the side trying to decide. But in any event, if you're successful and you generate some fairly large capital gains, the best we can do is try to time your gain year, or the exit on a partnership that you may be in this year, with you undertaking still another partnership this year to offset the tax on the one you're selling. And thanks to the OBBBA, that's the Big Beautiful Act, we have the return of the full tangible bonus depreciation, which is a big deal in the multifamily space. It's got all the right assets to take advantage of that provision of the code. And we can, in large measure, offset gains on other transactions that you may be exiting. And for those of you that understand, you know, or for the that may not understand, I'm sorry, or for those that understand, if you'll recall, for the new listeners, partnerships are a strange creature when it comes to the impact of the way deductions are taken or not taken over the years. And, you know, you're limited in how much you can claim. In most of our clients' cases, if you make more than $150,000 a year, you cannot write off losses off of passive rental activities, except or to the extent of any gains that you may have. And if you're just getting started in investing in real estate private partnerships, you're going to find that most likely every transaction you undertake first year is going to have losses. And the likelihood is that you won't be able to use them, because you're passive and the passive activity loss limitation will kick in. You don't lose the losses. You carry them forward until such year as you have passive income, like when you dispose of a partnership interest, or at the end of the life of a partnership, if you sell, then every loss that you've been limited on carries forward and offsets any gains, or can be applied against salary and wage income or pension and annuity, any taxable Social Security, etc. So, but for those of you that have never had a tax planner, you know, as we say on our website, do you want to work with a reporter, a CPA that generally you provide your data to and they report it to the IRS, or do you want to work with a planner? And we can help you with reporting, but the far more important aspect of what we do is planning and having you in a vehicle of some sort that provides tax benefits against whatever taxable income you may have. And that's something we can talk about if you will go to our website at beaplanner.com and fill out that step one form one client profile. By the way, if you are wanting to invest your retirement funds, please fill out the form two step two, or step two form two, and I'll take a look to see if you're in a position to qualify to use your retirement accounts to fund some of the partnerships. Let's see. I had a couple of news articles that I was wanting to mention. Let me find. Let's see here. I thought I had it marked off to the side. Well, I'll try. I've got a couple others I could mention in the meantime, and then perhaps I can find the one that I was wanting to go through. The announcements are coming fast and furious on new multifamily projects. Just scanning the list of deals that have come across on emails, you know, there's, you know, all sides of the country. You know, if I look at, let's see, let me pull this article up. 300 new units in Mesquite, Texas, I guess the Dallas area. And we've even got a new build in the Austin market, which, man, that's interesting. Somebody sees an angle as to why they can break through the distress that's there. And, here's several office projects. Who would have thought that there would be any new office buildings coming back in most Texas cities? But in any event, the number of deliveries in the multifamily market in Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas has been considerable, considering how deep the distress has been. And I'm not sure that's a good thing. I suspect there's always excitement at the top of a market. If you qualify to rent an A level apartment, Class A, then the world's your oyster as these new units come online. And I guess if, everything runs downhill. So as the rates go up, people are moving out. Some people are moving out to mature Class B pluses or A minuses as the new A's come onto the market or into the market. And, absorption and rent growth is two very important variables that determine when, these transactions occur. Manhattan, I had got two deals sitting in my email that have come through for Manhattan. And Manhattan, if you backed up just a couple years ago, you would have thought, man, it's going to be a lifetime before most properties in that area can recover from what they've been through. It's crazy how far they fell, but it appears that that area is back, and the rents are, well, they're typical Manhattan rents. They're out of sight. Let's do this. I see that we're right on top of our typical break time, first break. Let's go ahead and take that. And I will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. give up or no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And, you know, I know at times we kind of just assume that everybody that happens to tune into this show believes that real estate, specifically multifamily, is just automatically the best investment. And I have had an article out on our website. It's actually the show's website, so it's beaplannershow.com, and you can get to that at the beaplanner.com site as well. If you just click the link for the show, it'll do some left and right turns and you'll get there. But I want to direct you to an article. If you don't want to believe Nathan Ross, you can see what the Fed Reserve Bank of San Francisco said. This is a working paper that they released back in 2015. I'm sorry. It covered the period of 1870 to 2015. And essentially, it looked at the returns on capital, including the variables of interest rates, yields, dividends, rents, capital gains, risk premiums, household wealth, and housing markets. And you'll have to look at this yourself. I'm not going to read the entirety of this. What is this report? It's got to be 121 pages. But what I wanted to point out is that, it's got more detail than you'll want, but all I'm trying to get you to take a look at is take a look and see where housing fell on the scale or the graph, several graphs. They analyze this data backwards and forwards and sideways, or up and down. And real estate, all assorted types of housing, not just multifamily, I'll say, but I would say multifamily was probably the most substantive that was covered. And then it also shows you a little bit, to a lesser extent, it gives you indications of how other countries, Switzerland, Netherlands, Norway, Germany, France, around the globe, fared as well. And housing is the bright spot. Bottom line is, in that report, housing, real estate, is the area that you would have preferred to have your money in. And bonds steady, equities steady, but not quite up to the mark of real estate. And so I don't apologize for talking about real estate private partnerships on almost each and every show, because it still remains, even in spite of the troubled markets that we have now, the debt markets, and we're not out of the woods yet, folks. There's still a lot of distress in the troubled debt arena that will come to the forefront here later this year, most of it, I think. But that creates opportunities. And if you weren't in this investment space before now, you've got some opportunities that other folks may not have. And, it's money is made in the up markets and the down markets with real estate. And unfortunately, we do have down markets. They're typically not on the same frequency that, for instance, the stock market is. Stock market's more of a yo-yo. The real estate market, or at least the multifamily market, is more of a slow-moving boat, I guess you might say. It doesn't react as quick and doesn't correct as quick in many cases. And so I wouldn't tell you for sure we're out of the woods in the current market. I haven't read all the reporting as of yet today, but I just saw a glimpse of a headline that the jobs report issued earlier today was not as good as expected. That said, there's a lot of other economic variables that are better than expected, but jobs are kind of critical in the multifamily market. But in any event, let's see, we'll come back to a couple articles. Let me pick back up with a topic that I started a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last Friday. We talked briefly about a fund. I believe this one was from 2 weeks ago. There's a apartment fund on the East Coast, or say Georgia, that area. And it's a fund, and I don't know if you'll recall if you were listening 2 weeks ago, but the thing that caught my eye is it's a syndicator that's been to the finish line before, I think more than a few times. And I met this gentleman at one of his properties on a to tour it. Oh, it's been 5, 6 or so years ago. Very impressed with the property and very impressed with him. Now, that said, I don't know him. I mean, I don't know him. And I'm going to suggest to you there's some things that we, you and I, should do to confirm his current status with respect to whether he's had some troubled headwinds on any of the deals that he's in currently. Because I tell you, just because you've had success with a particular syndicator in the past, it's not a reason to jump in head first on future deals without taking a detailed look. And I guess the other thing that I'm hypersensitive about is, since the wounds are so fresh on the current distress that we've had in some of the multifamily projects over the last 2 to 3 years, you can't just put your head in the sand and say, well, you know, I'm never going to see that again. That was a one-off, one-time occurrence. I would suggest, no, you may not see that again. It may be worse. Okay, it's just, distress happens. I don't care which market you're in. It's never always going up. It just doesn't happen. And so what I would caution, and I mean, now's the time before you put money into the next transactions, is let's negotiate up front for an understanding with the syndicator as to how fees, for instance, if there are fees, and there usually are. There's not in this transaction, though. That was one of the other things that I appreciated. Very low, I mean, normal management fees, basically. It was almost as if you were simply joint venturing the passive partners with the lead partners. They were putting their money in, getting their return. There was some compensatory component. I'd have to go back and look at that once again. But bottom line, this one did not have the plethora of fees, especially the upfront stuff. The acquisition fee, the capital raise fee, the debt placement fee, the construction management fee on rehab management fee, the refinance fee or capital transaction fee. It's referred to a number of ways. And then finally, at the end, after all that, the disposition fee. And so these transactions, I would suggest, will be more readily available in the near future. I don't think it's going to stop the folks that are raiding your hen house from seeking to do it again. They seem to have a very short memory when it comes to some of the problems in the multifamily business. In any event, the rates on this target rates, and this is an IRR, so it's not exactly a cash-on-cash comparison. I'll tell you that in a second. The internal rate of return is projected to be between 15 and 18%. And IRR is not necessarily a good comparative to use. The timing affects the IRR calculation markedly. The cash-on-cash return that's expected is between 4 and 7%. The investment period, which once you put your money in, you would expect to get money out, is 3 to 5 years. And the amount of capital to be raised, this is not a big fund, $25 million. They're going to use that to buy anywhere from 3 to 5 apartment complexes this year. And, you know, it's a way to diversify your risk a bit, since it would be spread over 3 to 5 apartment complexes. And the syndicator has got significant money of their own in this transaction. And I think that's the kind of thing that would make me more comfortable, certainly. I'm assuming it might yourself. In any event, I had another Realty Mogul deal. I'm going to see if I can't find that one before we come back from the next break. But the opportunity fund, or the fund that's this opportunity I'm talking about, is, you know, it's made up. When we talk about apartment transactions, we have two different camps we typically refer to. And then, of course, there could be a hybrid, but we talk about a value add objective on apartment buildings. And in that case, typically they're in need of some refreshment. Could be deferred maintenance, could be simply the age of the apartments. If it's a 40 or 45 year old strong Class C, but it's lacking the current amenities, a value add strategy could be applied where, you know, part of the money that's raised or borrowed is used for renovations, maybe updating appliances, maybe putting a bark park in or adding some covered parking or garage space, putting smart home packages in. I mean, there's a number of things that could be done that would add value, and especially when it comes to allowing rents to be raised. And you know, that's the name of the game. I mean, with any apartment building, the valuation can only go up if the net operating income generates a positive increase, or can only go up much with that. Now, you could also argue, well, if we had lower cap rates, that's the rate that an investor will demand or a bank will demand to refinance the loan. Investor will demand a cap rate percentage that gets them the return on their investment they're seeking. But without being able to affect the net operating income, which is the bottom line on a complex of the operating revenues and expenses, you can't raise the value. And that's the magic sauce with multifamily. You know, we've talked before about how the or the way the differences between the way we make money in multifamily instead of single family. And I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, gee, he hasn't said anything about buying rental houses. And I'm not anti-rental houses, but I think what you'll find is the older one gets or more mature, you'll find your objectives in life perhaps change. Maybe you want to travel around the country. Maybe you want to do what I've done, which is living abroad. I used to say part-time. I would suggest you try part-time living abroad. I've reached a point where I really prefer where I'm at here in Southeast Asia. And I'm not saying I'm going to renounce my citizenship. I would never do that. The U.S. citizenship is the most exclusive country club, if you will, in the world. But I tell you what, the U.S. doesn't always get it right. And boy, there are a lot of things going on right now in our country that give me angst. And frankly, it's not like when I was a kid growing up. And I know, and nothing is. I get that. But it seems to me we've moved very far away from the basic tenets that, you know, made America what it was back in the day. And again, it's not just what's going on in America, it's all the problems we've got elsewhere, and it seems like they all end up on our doorstep in America. And you know, it's just, I don't know, I think there are some spots in the world that you might agree with me have enormous satisfaction and opportunity for you to experience a higher lifestyle at a lower cost. And I'll tell you that especially if you're headed into retirement, you know, one solution for not having enough money set aside is to take a look at where might you retire or live abroad part-time, and cut the cost of living where you may not be as behind, if at all, as much as you thought, because it doesn't cost as much to live in many, many countries or cities around the world. And this is something that we're going to talk more and more about. I've been collecting some data that I'll get up on our website at some point. And for those of you, at least, that are thinking about maybe a Southeast Asia destination, be happy to consult with you, try to save you some headache and heartache, and at least give you my 2 cents on the areas that I know something about and could be possibly helpful in helping you pick out accommodations and air travel, things like that, since I've done it, I don't know, I think about 100 times now in the last 20 years. So anyway, let's go ahead and take our final break, and we'll be back here momentarily with the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude. attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing. Big dreams and fake dreams, and there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I want to suggest to you, and again, this is more for the first-time listener, perhaps someone that has not yet invested in real estate private partnership transactions, the things that we just at a high level want to look at before we drill down and confirm some of the specific details. As an example, you've really got to pay attention to the assumption set that's going in to the pro forma illustrations that every sponsor is going to provide you. I mean, that's basically how they get to how much of this is going to be yours at some point when the property starts generating rents and that turn into cash flow at some point after, you know, all bills are paid, the debt's paid, each period or each, you know, month or each quarter, depending on how often distributions will occur. And, you know, we talked a minute ago about the difference between a value-add property or a stable property, meaning one that's already rented, leased up, also known as a yield play. And the way I explain those two models, the value add is, I'm not going to say it's the gambler's desired investment, but it does have the likelihood of higher returns in general. The yield play or the stabilized property option is more like buying a T-bill. You know, you're probably not going to hit it out of the park, but you're going to have a steady, consistent distribution stream. And at the end of the day, we got to look at, well, where are you at relative to your retirement living needs? And if you don't have a significant amount of real estate investment already, or pension or Social Security, or something else that's creating monthly income streams, then you're probably going to want to stay on the side of the yield play or the stabilized projects, because you really don't want to risk putting a significant piece of your nest egg into a project that you might turn around in a year and realize, well, whoa, wait a minute, this project's not generating any monthly income or quarterly, as it may be. And so while it's tempting to always try to go with the value add projects that will return more, I would suggest to you the more logical scenario is maybe have two or three yield plays for every value add that you have. That might be the smart play, to where, you know, you might hit it big on a value play. You may or may not go under on another value play, but then you've got some yield play projects to kind of smooth the balance. And one thing I would tell you is, if you've tied up $100,000 or so of your capital in a value add that doesn't go anywhere, I mean, I'm not saying you lost money. I'm just saying, hey, it didn't progress the way that we thought. You know, the syndicator executed the business plan, and for whatever reason, it did not generate the significant cash flow. Well, you've tied up $100,000, and that's almost as bad as losing your money, at least if you're looking backward. So, you know, it's very important as you get started, and each and every time you invest, regardless of how familiar that syndicator is, you really got to take the numbers apart on the pro forma. If you hear somebody say something like, well, why do you want to read the documents? Why do you need to understand the documents? Just move forward. I heard the leader, the founder of one of the platforms in Houston, make that statement once on the radio. And it's like, well, why do you people not just move forward and put your money in with a syndicator that's got a project? As if that makes any sense at all, that you don't learn enough about the project to find out how it meshes with your goals and objectives and fully understand what you're signing up for. Does that mean it's going to be perfect every time? No. But it can tell you whether or not the syndicator is rational. If you're using rental growth assumption rates and the pro forma data that are not current averages, that's things that we subscribe to. We subscribe to several data sources, and you don't even have to subscribe. You can Google much of the metrics. It's just not as convenient as getting a report once a month that shows 20 or 25 markets and more submarkets, to where we can see the data collected from a group that we respect their thoroughness. We know they're looking at this over, I forget how many units, it's a lot, different properties around the country, probably the top 15 cities or so, and gives us some significant insights into those markets. You know, the rental growth rate, the average rental rate per unit in these markets, the absorption rate, you know, how many units have come into the market that have been rented, how many units are in the pipeline now for delivery, how many were delivered a month ago, the current concessions that are being offered, huge variable in the current market in most places. I've seen as much as 10% concessions, and that's all part of understanding what you're signing up for. And yeah, I don't want to tell you to be a nuisance or an annoyance to a lead partner, but I'm going to remind you, it'll never be easier to get the information you're seeking before you invest your money. And if you think, well, you know, I'll call them 6 months later after I've given them my money. They're good people. They're going to give us what we need. And yes, they may very well be good people. And yes, they may very well be willing to drop what they're doing and rustle up the data you're seeking. And I just wouldn't chance it to that. I would not leave it to that particular possibility. I would not demand it, but ask diplomatically before you get going. Let's see. I was going to point out just a couple other high level on a project like the one we were discussing. You want to look at the projected equity multiple just as a high level. You know, I'm putting this amount of money in. How much am I getting out or projected to get out? The equity multiple, or the EM little x, as I see it abbreviated, is the number that you're looking for. And if you're looking at a deal that's 2.0 or less, 2.0 or greater over like a 4 to 5 year time span. So two to two plus, you know, the gold standard for what we used to see all the time, and we're starting to see deals come back to this level, are 0.43 per month, I believe was the number. And so you could take the math. If they give you a 2.0, you can divide 2.0 by the number of months in the number of years that the syndicator is suggesting that they will return that. Let me check something here. I think I said that correctly. Maybe not. Maybe I got the variable backwards. Let's see. So if we did 72 months divided by 2. No, I had it right. So you divide the 2.0 by the number of months, and you're looking for a 0.43. That's a monthly EMX or equity multiple. And, you know, if you, again, the issue or what we're trying to do is not invest money in a transaction that is going to take 10 years to double your money. And, you know, I see syndicators, I look at a lot of videos online. There's one of the big-time syndicators. And I tell you what, sometimes Grant Cardone is who I'm referring to. Grant has an infectious personality. He's a masterful salesman. But, boy, if he would stop and listen to the math that he throws around on some of the videos, and maybe it's the whoever the folks are that are doing the editing, but the numbers don't add up. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And if you've watched any of Grant Cardone's videos, you know about the 10X book that he has and the concept, his seminars. Look, I've got clients in some of his deals, and the only thing I can ascribe 10X to is that his project's going to take 10 times longer than some of the ones my other clients are in to return a comparable amount of money. And I know he wouldn't want to hear me saying that, but look, the guy talks about things. It's always, I remember the song, I'm trying to think of who used to sing it. He passed away here within the last year. Great country and western singer from Oklahoma, but it's all about me, 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 me. And I think of that song every time I hear or watch a Grant Cardone video. You know, one that I was looking at the other day, it said he sold his house, had some equity in it, and sold my house. Best thing I ever did, sold my house, turned around and bought an apartment building, $15 million. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, your house was not $15 million. And what he's saying is he and some passive partners turned around and invested. Maybe it was his first deal. And that's great, but it doesn't add up sometimes. So anyway. Well, we're all are at the end of the show here. Toby Keith was the name of that country and western star. Anyway, we will be back on Sunday, 7 a.m., right here on KSEV AM 700 and KGBC AM 1540. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.